This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is part three of a message that was started in the month of January of the year 2016. This happens to be the month for this message is for the month of March of the year 2016, and it's being put on audio in the month of August of the year 2024. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, there may be some mention of people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that this message was first published, where it may or may they may not be relevant for today, because this is about an 8 year, little over 8 year difference. And so if I come across anything like that, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me tell you this, when it comes down to the Word of God, His Word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scriptures are taken from the Old Testament. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, while the second one is in the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. And as I said, this is for the month of March of the year 2016. And if you have the scriptures available, you will find these words recorded. The first one says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The second scripture is God speaking. He says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." The title for this message, No Vision, No Future. This is part three of a 12-part message. In other words, it's going to run all the way from January all the way to December of the year 2016. Now, when I closed last month, I was explaining how we in this nation, and the world for that matter, have come to be in the mess we are in, and it has to do with the mindset we have that says this is the 21st century. All that stuff about living a holy, righteous life is a long time past. Those that try to promote the idea that there is a God obeying what he says will somehow make things better for you is lunacy and is the sign of a religious nut. that needs to be put away. The reason they say this is because they are totally blind to the reality of God's word, talking about Christ. Go to St. John chapter number 1, read verses 1 through 3, and verse number 14, and you know why I use the connection of God's word and Christ together. We are told in the beginning, God created everything. There is nothing seen or unseen that was made without Him. And how did He create them? He spoke them into existence. Read the full account of the creation in Genesis chapter number 1, verses number 1 through 25, and you will see that everything was created out of nothing more than God's spoken word. Verses 3, 6, 9, 11, 14, 20, and 24 tell us that God said something, and the next thing we see is that it happened. Note, this is a crucial point. Everything today is functioning the same way it was designed to function from the beginning. In other words, nothing has changed because God's word has not changed. The reason I say this is a crucial point is that it gives us a foundation to build on. That foundation is God's creation, and all that He created has not changed from its original design, because neither He or His word has or will change. This sets the stage to combat the argument that because this is the 21st century, things have changed. The only changes that may be misconstrued as changes are by God's original design, where, for instance, He dealt more harshly with mankind in the beginning under the law than He does today under grace. I got a little ahead of myself here. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, as I mentioned, God created everything we see today by the spoken word, except for one thing, and that is man. In verse 26, God takes a different approach in creating us. He suggests something rather than commanding it. He then goes on to personally make man out of the materials He has already spoken into existence. This means He formed us with His own hands. He did not speak us into existence. This is the first sign that lets us know just how important man is to him above all the rest of creation. He made us in his image. It is far easier to say something, even if it is God, than to actually physically do something. God wanted to give us all his qualities, so much so that when he finished creating us, he personally breathed life into us and we became living souls. Now, if you can grasp what I am saying about the relationship between God and man, then you can begin to get the vision of just how much we mean to him. With that being the foundation, we can get the vision of how, through our own disobedience to him, starting with Adam and not Eve, the world became the mess that we find it in today. I am not going to go through all the intricate details as to how, through every generation, we find ourselves in this mess today, other than the fact that just as God warned Adam that what would happen to him if he disobeyed him in the garden, the same thing holds true for us today. Nothing has changed. If the world were to last another 1,000 centuries, God's word would still be doing what it is doing. And what is it that God's word is doing? It is proving that there are great benefits for being obedient to him, and great pain and suffering to doing otherwise. I hear so many people talking about there can't be a God if we see all the misery and suffering going on all over the world, especially when it comes to children. If there is a God, who would want to serve a God like that? I could see their point when I was out there in the world, so to speak. However, when I came into the knowledge of God and how he has things set up, I got the picture or vision as to what the real problem is and how to get around or overcome it. Obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22, the second part, says, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." This one scripture among many shows us why we are in this mess. We don't want to obey God. We don't want to obey anything when it comes right down to it. As soon as someone makes a rule or law, we will set about to break or go against it. So if that rule or law is something from years or centuries past, then it should be ignored because it doesn't apply. It is old-fashioned and out of date. The clear vision to the solution of our problems is, quite frankly, being obedient to God. In the natural, we have laws in place to live by. They are there for the sole purpose of providing an environment whereby all of us can live peacefully. As long as people follow and lie according to them, then all will be well. Correction, that says, as long as people follow and live according to them, all will be well. However, when someone decides to operate outside of those laws, then they need to be dealt with before things start to get worse. Most, if not all of us, can agree on this point. If you let a lawbreaker go unpunished, then it won't be long before he or she will get worse and worse. Not to mention the fact that others will begin to do the same thing. That will begin to be the downfall of that society. If we can understand that, then why can't we understand that same principle being applied to the laws of God? The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Everything that you and I do is sowing a seed that will one day bring forth some type of fruit. It could be a blessing or cursing. It all depends on what God has to say about what we are doing. A lot of people, Christians, tend to believe that God's grace covers our wrongdoing or sins without any action on our part. It is automatic, they believe. Well, that is not how it goes. Sure, His grace will cover our sins thanks to Christ. However, that only takes place when we acknowledge the fact that we have sinned. In 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, we find these words recorded. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Hebrews chapter 8 verse number 12 says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." As I mentioned earlier, all of this that I am going through is to help deeper you get the vision of how God has things set up so that you can get blessed and he can get the glory. There is a complete lack of knowledge of this area in the lives of most people, especially Christians. As a result, many are living far below their true God-given potential. Look at it like this. A certain individual has millions of dollars set aside for you. He tells you that all you have to do is give him a call whenever you need it. He gives you his phone number to call. Yet instead of calling that number, you dial several different numbers and inquire about the money, but never get anywhere. Why? It's simple. You aren't using the right number, so you never get connected to him. Well, even though God doesn't use numbers, so to speak, he has a procedure that must be followed in order to get through to him. That procedure consists of going through Jesus Christ. St. John chapter number 5, St. John chapter 15, verse number 5 says, Jesus is speaking, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, when I say going through Christ, I am primarily talking about the fact that you have to have made him your Lord and Savior. And in order to do that, you have to have accepted his virgin birth, his death on the cross as an atonement for our sins, and his resurrection from the dead as a fact. When you accept someone as your Lord, you are submitting control over your life to them. Consequently, as the Apostle Paul put it, you become a prisoner or slave to that person. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1 says, For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, I know that in today's way of thinking, especially among the African American community, the term slave has a meaning that doesn't sit well. It brings back all sorts of visions of that we need to bury in the past because of the horror that we experienced over the centuries. It's not so much we experienced over the centuries, but you know, our race did, our elders, our grandparents and great-grandparents and forefathers and stuff. Yet here we have the Apostle Paul essentially embellishing the term an idea of his being under the complete control of a master that was the ultimate of what a master should really be. Christ was one that set the standards of how one who had control of the life of someone should treat them. You see, too many of us Christians tend to reject the idea of anyone having control over them because of the perverted relationship between master and slave in our historical past. What we need to do is learn just what kind of master Christ is. In doing so, you will find out that he is one who loves all that are his. He looks out for and protects them from all harm. You could say he essentially takes a position of a father looking after his kids. Just like a father, he is willing to provide everything you might need in order for you to have a blessed and prosperous life. After all, if the earth and everything in, on, under, and above it are all his. Psalms 24:1 says this: "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." Then that means you, as his child, have the benefit of having access to it all. Now, while it may seem like I switched from talking about prisoner and slave, I really haven't, because in a sense, if you are a parent, then your children are supposed to be obedient to everything you say while they are young. This constitutes the same relationship as we, as servants or prisoners or slaves and children of God, are supposed to have with him. But you see, we have this mindset instilled in us that says, "I am grown and I will do what I want, when I want. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what I can and cannot do." And herein lies one of the biggest but most overlooked situations that occur in our lives that cause us to miss what he has for us. If you profess to being a Christian, but at the same time carry the thought that you are going to do what you want, then you haven't really made Christ the Lord of your life. You can't have it both ways. Either he is Lord of 100% of your life, or he isn't. Now, why would someone feel that they want to make their own decisions on how to approach life? It is because they don't have a vision as to what totally submitting themselves to the will of Christ or God will bring them. So how is a person supposed to get that vision after they accept Christ as their Lord? Well, the first thing that they should do is to pick up a Bible and begin reading about God and His relationship to man. Ideally, most people, because of the time that we are living in, will start in the New Testament. In fact, there are a lot of Bibles out there that only include the New Testament and Psalms. That's it. However, if you only avail yourselves of this type of source, you can only get a basic idea of what you have inherited. The only problem is you get very little information as to why we need salvation in the first place. You have no idea as to what the true nature of God is like, because it is not addressed in detail. So you don't have a clue or vision as to the depths that salvation reaches down to deliver you from the wrath of God. Next month, I will get into the mistaken idea of why it is people, especially most Christians, tend not to believe that God still curses those that disobey Him. And as a result, they end up being destroyed. Well, that's the end of part three of our message, and I hope you're beginning to see where we're going with this. Like I said, it's going to take the full 12 months, 12 parts, to give you enough meat, if you will, to chew on, and a lot to meditate on, so that you can begin to understand just exactly what it is we're supposed to be doing, what our relationship is with God, and what God has for us, and how we can tap into the promises of God that give us the vision to continue walking in the paths of righteousness. So in closing, let me just say this again. May God bless you and your families real good. Till we get together next time for part four of this message. And until then, God bless you and good day.